We are so blessed to know Christ, aren't we? Man alive. That song just made me reflect on so many things I'm glad I'm not going to have to be accountable for because of Jesus Christ. We're the most blessed people if we know Christ. And not just us here, I'm not just referring to us rockers, but any person, any human being, any place in the world that is privileged to know Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift we have received. We're never going to die. And we're going to get new bodies. And we're going to live forever in a place of perfect peace, perfect harmony, joy, no boredom, no sin, no guilt, no shame. Of course, no guilt, no shame is ours already because of Christ, isn't it? You know, tonight I have a very special message that I've been waiting, holding on to share for some time. It's called The Deadly Danger of Pride. And I'd like you to listen very, very carefully to it because I think it will speak to all of us in a unique way. If you're married here tonight or you're thinking of being married someday, I'd like you to especially listen very carefully to it. Because there is nothing more deadly in our lives than pride. And most people that you know don't think they have any. But I think as I go through this message tonight, it might open our eyes a little bit. And it has the potential to transform our relationships. It has the potential to transform the state of our marriage as it is right now tonight. God wants to make it better. God wants to take us from one degree of glory to another. But we can't get to that next point if we don't recognize where we presently are. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, tonight, we just bless you. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And that because of Jesus Christ, we will not end up where we began. We will not end up eternally destroyed in hell forever. We will not be judged for our sin. But because of Christ, we're forgiven, spotless, blameless, faultless in the eyes of God. Because of your Son. if that doesn't strike, Lord, humility in our heart, if that doesn't begin to break down our pride, nothing will. We have nothing, Lord, to offer you whatsoever. Without Christ, we're broken, ugly, wretched, decrepit, and wicked and evil men and women. That's what we are. And everything we touch is poisoned. Everything we touch is destroyed by our own sinfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you're the ultimate cure. Tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Tonight, you'd help us, Lord, to open our eyes and see how significant this area is in our life. How it may be holding us back. How it may be right in front of our face and we don't even see it. How it might be destroying the very things we say we love. But we're too blind because of our pride. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'd like to do tonight, as to start with, is I'd like to share a real life story with you. Actually occurred. And this story actually, I was not sure was going to have a good ending. Now I can tell you tonight before you hear the story that it does have a good ending. I can also tell you that I received permission from the individual to share the dialogue that we had. And I also want you to know that I changed all the names in so you would not, so I could protect the privacy of the individual. But I was very, very grateful to them that they were willing to let me because this is such a real life demonstration and example of what can happen in your life. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read you almost word for word, the exact dialogue that I had with this particular individual. We'll call him Bob. That's how I renamed him Bob. We don't have any Bobs here, so that should fit in. Just at least I've never met a Bob here. What about Bob? I guess it's a movie called that, right? Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. Bob had some problems, though, he wasn't willing to deal with. So this was last January. And I do this from time to time because I love you. Hey, Bob, Mark Darling here. I've just been wondering how you're doing. How's life going? How's your job going? How's marriage going? How are the kids? I used to regularly see you at the dad's workshop, but not so much anymore. Are you doing okay? I love you, brother, and I'm praying for you guys. Mark D. P.S. I'd love to meet you some morning for coffee. The response I received. Mark, thanks for checking up with me. Work's been challenging with the cold weather, but I'm alive. The kids are doing great. There are challenges, of course, but I'm very pleased with the kids' progress. My oldest takes after me with praying, so I've been having them write what they're grateful for in a notebook and then using that to pray during quiet times and prayer time with the family. Notice they're praying. See there? Okay. I get a lot of the dad's workshop. I did anyway, but I haven't been in a while just because I haven't had the time. I know it needs to be done. The hard part is not the knowing anymore. It's the doing. I'm very pleased where I'm at with raising my kids. My wife and I, however, have not been good since 2009. That's 5 years. 2009, 5 years from when I wrote this. For 5 years. And as Rob Thomas put it in his famous song, I couldn't tell if anyone here is feeling the way I do, but it's over now, and I don't know how. It's over now. There's no getting back to good. So I wrote back, "Hey, Bob, thanks for writing back and filling me in. It has been very cold, and I'm sure that makes things quite difficult. As for the Rob Thomas lyrics, may I gently say, they seem pretty hopeless and somewhat fatalistic. Is that genuinely how you're feeling about your marriage? Bob, you know this, dear brother, but because of Jesus Christ, I believe any situation between a husband and wife can change and get better. There is hope because of his great power and love. He can transform any situation. If the two people are willing. May I humbly ask if I could sit down with both of you and we could just honestly discuss together where you guys feel you're at, why you are both feeling the way you do, and what things you guys each feel needs to change in the marriage, and then where to go from here. I love you both dearly. I know you love your kids, but it will only be a matter of time before the unresolved issues between you and Sally begin to take a real toll on your little children. Please, dear brother, let me try to help. Praying for you both, Mark." See, I am a gentle guy in writing. I want you to know that. I didn't blast him. His last response. Mark, I could see how you might take my response as fatalistic, but if you knew me, you know I'm anything but fatalistic. I firmly believe in free will my whole life. Rather than being fatalistic, I'm saying that actions have consequences, which is to say you can't unscramble an egg. I really appreciate your interest in wanting to help. I mean, how many pastors are asking their parishioners to meet with them rather than waiting 3 months in line to get an appointment with them? After 5 years of meetings, counseling, and endless debates with my brothers at church, I've come to firmly believe that words are wind. Let's be honest, it's not that complicated. All I have to do is, as you've stated, die to myself. What would be most helpful is to continue to pray for me, specifically that God would soften my heart and show me how to relinquish my pride and any honor I have left and still be the man that I can respect when I look in the mirror. So this was my last response. Dear Bob, thanks for getting back to me. I believe when it comes to marriage not working well, it can be unscrambled through communication, humble teachability, and repentance and change. I think it is possible that me meeting with you both could help redirect the direction of your marriage. It needs help. You guys need help. That's what I'm offering to do, is help you. Of course, change is more than words. Actions must follow. The devil is crafty and deceptive, and his lies can deeply penetrate a heart and a perspective so as to blind us to the real truth and to the reality That is why talking, interacting, and sharing what's really going on in both your hearts, so I can help you work through these things that you guys may not be seeing or understanding, it could actually really help. I will continue to pray for you, dear brother. Remember this. Pride is the most destructive force in the human spirit. I just don't want it to destroy your marriage and your children's lives. Humility, teachability is the only path to honor, life, joy, and wonderful blessing. I love you dearly, Mark. So this was our dialogue. This was back in January. January 31st through February. For many years, I've been praying for this couple. And after I received this, I prayed more. Every day, every morning, actually. A few months ago, about a month and a half ago, he and I met up. And I was just blown away. He said to me, he said, Mark, he said, I want to tell you something. My marriage right now is it's been going better than ever. He said, Mark, I just sat down with my wife, my kids. I looked them in the eye with tears. I repented. I took all the responsibility for how bad our marriage was because it was all me. It was my pride and my arrogance. And he said, now, of course, I want this to be this way the next year, the next three, the next five, and I'm going to have to live it out. But he said, I'll tell you what, Mark, the last 6 weeks has been like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. That is the reward of humility. That is the reward of owning up to your responsibility and admitting to those in your life, but first to yourself, that I am proud. Now, I want to talk with you tonight about what are the symptoms of pride so that you can understand how deadly pride really is. It's deadly in our relationship with God, and it's deadly in our relationship with human beings, and it is the reason why marriages end. And this marriage, to be really honest with you, there were many times, they don't know this, that I prayed for them in tears. Because this is the most frightening state you can ever be in. Pride is insidious, and it can be just a little droplet. You put a droplet in this water, and in time, it toxifies the entire cup. It grows. It's like a cancer. It metastasizes, and it ruins your relationship, and it blinds you, both in your relationship with God and your relationship with this other human being that at one time you loved. It blinds you to the monster that you're becoming. God is transforming this individual's life, and humility will bring transformation to your life. There's no transformation without humility. What are the symptoms of pride? I'm going to read a few verses to you in a moment, but I just want to tell you what the symptoms of pride are. Ladies and men, I want you to listen to this because these are very significant. Unsubmissiveness is a symptom of pride. Contentiousness is a symptom of pride. Argumentativeness is a symptom of pride. Stubbornness is a symptom of pride. Being obstinate is a symptom of pride. Some of you may not be dictionary friendly. You might want to look up what these words mean. Stubborn means you kind of dig in your heels. You won't reconsider your view. You stubbornly insist on your own way. Unsubmissive simply means that I refuse to defer to you. I refuse to follow your lead. I will not submit myself to what you want me to do. Contentious, the Bible says it's better to live in the corner of an attic than with a contentious and argumentative woman. And there's probably not a married man in this room that does not know what that feels like at some moment in their lives. Nor is there a woman in this room that does not know what it's like to deal with a proud and arrogant man in some moment or period of time in their life. Uncoachable unteachable, blames others. It's always someone else. The problem in America, it's you. It's you. Couldn't be me. Resistant to authority. Hard to deal with. It's just hard to deal with. Hard to approach. You just feel like you're on eggshells. You can't really approach them. They just send off signals. I am unapproachable. I am untouchable. Don't come to me about anything, because I'll lay it all back on you. They're difficult to correct. They're hard and unresponsive. They're unwilling to listen or take advice. They're blind to their own needs. They're just blind. I mean, the boss can see it, friends can see it, family can see it, you see it, kids see it. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm okay. They have a very difficult time apologizing. Proud people, in fact, rarely apologize. They don't own up. They don't accept responsibility. They won't admit when they're wrong. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? There's a lot of words there that are pretty profound and important. It is so easy not to listen to your spouse's advice. No one knows you better than your spouse. Nobody. They live with you. They sleep with you. They see you day in and day out. They love you in spite of yourself. It's so difficult, isn't it, to listen to their corrections or their observations. It's easy to dismiss them or even dismiss what God is trying to show you needs to change in your life. I mean, you're resistant to your spouse. Let me tell you, you're resistant to God. You're resistant to God. The history of Israel is the story of pride. Pride and rebellion and forgetting God. Now, I'd like to read to you some Proverbs just to ponder. Really just three, but you know, if you ever want to try to get a grasp of an area, let me just tell you something simple that you can do. Just go to BibleGateway.com. If you have a little smartphone, it'll work there. If you have your little iPad, you can carry it, use it there, or your computer. And it has a word search. It's really easy. If I can use it, trust me, I'm a techno dummy. Just type in the word pride. And over here you can do it. You can choose whatever Bible version you want. In a list all the time is pride is mentioned in the Bible. Read every verse. Then write in the word proud. And then read every description of proud and the verses that go along with it. And you'll find for yourself the symptoms of pride and being proud. You'll find stories in the Bible of people who are proud. And you will find that God opposes the proud. He loves you, but he opposes you. Let me put it like this. So you got a little kid, you know, a little kid gets upset. You ever seen in the old movies? And they're trying to punch you, and they're punching you, and the big person's holding their hand on their head like this. You know, the big person's not beating them down, they're just holding their hand. That's called opposition. When there's pride in your life, God in his love and mercy will oppose you. He will oppose you. Now, don't interpret all trials as God opposing you. God loves you. He brings trials into our life. They're for our good. But pride is a very dangerous thing for your soul. It's very, very, very dangerous. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You want to grow in wisdom? Then you got to ditch your pride and you got to grow in humility. If not, you're going to end up disgraced. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Wow, husbands and wives, how many times has conflict come up? I know in my own marriage, and I've been at times the source of the conflict, because I just didn't want to listen to a female perspective. What do you know? Sorry, ladies, don't take this wrong, but I'm a man. What do you know? You're only a woman after all. I'm sorry. That's what we think sometimes. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes, most of the time, it ain't. And conflict comes. Conflict comes because in humility, I'm not genuinely seeking to understand. Yes, the words, the message, not the way Kathy may be saying it, but what she's saying, it may be like, ouch, ooh, ah, gal, wow, you're off. Wow, are you whacked? Are you high or something? Instead of having a heart that just says, well, you know, I want to understand. In my relationship with Kathy, I think she would attest to this, but she knows this by practice. I have made it clear to her, Kathy, you can share with me whatever you want. I do not ever want you to feel afraid to share anything with me that you think or that you see. And often if it's maybe a little more difficult thing, she'll write it to me. I always read what she writes. I always read what she writes. And we have found that in our relationship, it's helpful when it's something, maybe it's really tough or it's a little touchy. We write it to one another. And I can attest that Kathy listens to me and I listen to her. It's not always easy. I don't always like what I'm seeing written on the paper. Sometimes it brings tears to my eyes. Other times it brings rage to my soul. But I stay in my office and I calm it down and I get perspective and I go, Lord, there's something here that you want to say to me. And even if it's not 100% correct, doesn't matter, there's something here you want to say. And so often I've just seen such harmony. It's impossible to have harmony with a proud person. It's like our band up here tonight deliberately singing discord, like clashing notes. That's what it's like living with a proud person. There's dissonance, there's clashing all the time. Instead of living harmoniously with one another, deeply sympathetic, deeply empathetic, seeking to understand. It'll transform your marriage. Fighting comes only from pride, but wisdom is with those who listen when told what they should do. You know, ladies, I tell you, I've been praying for a lot of marriages here. A lot of marriages. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. It's not like, oh, there's all these problems. I just know I've got a church of lots of young people, lots of marriages. So the closest marriage next to mine, I think it's about 11 years here. Kathy and I is 35. Okay? So we got a lot of young marriages. And I happen to know, because my ears are to the ground and the little birds sing in my ear on a regular basis. Every morning when I'm praying, there's birds singing. And I'm like, you know, some of the ladies are having a little trouble being submissive. Wives, be subject to your husband, just as the church is subject to Christ, for the husband is the head of the wife. He's the God-given authority in your life. Is he to be mean, harsh, overbearing, cruel, abusive? No! But sometimes will a husband be ungodly and carnal and fleshly? Yep! When a man goes to work, is his boss loving and sweet and kind? Or does sometimes he bring you in the office and ream you out some new eardrums? Thought I was going to say something else. I know that's what you were thinking, but he does, doesn't he? And what's a man got to do? Man's got to go back and do his job. Husbands, we're under the authority of Christ. We're under God's authority. What's our humility relationship with him? How can you say, listen to me just for just a moment. Can you imagine, guys, if you're trying to tell your wife something real important and she just walks around the room like this? I'm not listening. You get that? Sorry, I couldn't hold the mic and do it at the same time. That takes too much talent for me. Do you know what a man is like who's not in this book every day? Hey, God. Blah, 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 blah. You get that? When you're not a man of the book, you're an arrogant man. When you think you can do without the instruction of God, you're an arrogant man. We don't even have to, I don't even have to put a thermometer down your throat to go see where it shows on the pride meter. You're thinking you can live life without God. You have forgotten God. You have forgotten that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if you are not a man who is seeking the Lord, seek the Lord and His face continually, the Bible says. Seek Him. Go after Him. And you're lazily slopping around in your bed because you can't even get your fanny out of bed to meet God. You got a pride problem. So it's a little difficult for the loving wife God gave you to submit to a man who's not living under the authority of God. But ladies, in love I tell you, it can't be your excuse. Because you see, are living under the authority of Christ apart from Him. And as you live under the authority of Christ, His will for you is, ladies, be submissive and respectful of your husband. We have to quit worrying, what about them? What about them? And so, Lord, I realized many, many years ago, one of the great secrets to marriage is, it's on me, Lord. It's on me. I can't control what my precious wife does or thinks. I can pray for her. I can love her. But I can help to make this marriage better by being the man you ask me to be. And you know, it's really interesting. Over the years, I've observed there are things at times that Kathy, I think to myself, if I could just wave a magic wand, I'd change that. You know, I'm sure why she's thought that of me many times. But here's what was interesting. As I loved her, as I was just who God wanted me to be, we just moved that off the table. It's gone. I'm not going to think about the Lord. I'm just going to love her and care for her and strive to be tender with her and affirm her. I wish I could just stand up here again and brag about what God has done in my wife's life and this woman. But over the years, some of those things that as a younger man, they were just bugging me like crazy. God has just beautified. It was just like all these blossoms began to come out on Kathy's life. Because she was nurtured and she was loved. For as a young man, I wanted to force everything. I began to realize in my pride, Mark, I want you to be gentle. I want you to love. I want you to forget all that. I want you to accept her right where she's at. Wives, now I've seen Kathy, where there was things she wanted to change in my life. And God said, will you submit to Him anyway and you respect Him? And she did, and she did. And over the years, God began to make changes in me that she wished for as a younger woman. It's profound. Pride will destroy your marriage. Pride goes before destruction. And haughtiness before a fall, before a broken marriage. It's just going to break. It's going to fall apart. Humility is our small s savior. Humility is what unlocks the grace of God in our lives. Humility. Humility. I'm teachable and I'm eager to learn and I want to learn and I'll receive correction from God, from those in my life, people in our lives. You know what? You wished everybody would come just gently and lovingly and tactfully and diplomatically and godly and filled with the spiritly, but they don't always. So what are you going to do? Knock them down because they didn't do it perfect? I've had many, many... I've had much reproof over the years, and it's not going to stop, you know, until I go to be with the Lord. But I've had some really, really heavy-duty sessions, man, and people just come at me with guns blazing, and I can honestly say to you that I have striven... to listen, some of it hurt deeply, to go walk away and ask the Lord, Lord, how can I grow? What do you want me to learn? And I'm not going to lash out back. I wish I could say that every time with my wife. Unfortunately, I cannot. And I praise God for her love and her forgiveness. But she would attest and I could attest that God has grown our humility. Will you listen to your spouse's observations? Will you heed their advice? Will you die to your selfish pride and walk in humility? Never forget, God pours out His grace and His blessing on the humble and only the humble. Father, we thank you tonight for the power of your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you can change anybody. You can change any situation. As long as we're willing to walk in humility, as long as we're willing to come to you and acknowledge our pride and acknowledge our wrong and acknowledge our selfishness and acknowledge, Lord, you know what? You're right. I want to listen. Speak into my life. Teach me. I'll listen. That person, our spouse, may not say it just right. There may be so much hurt involved in the scenario, but if we both will walk together in humility, God, I'm telling you, marriage, instead of being a curse, instead of feeling like you're in purgatory, can be such a blessing and a joy. Now, I want to thank you, Lord, tonight, that over the years, in your grace and love, you humbled me. There have been many times, Lord, in my life that you had to humble me because I would not humble myself. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for the transformation that you're bringing in this couple tonight that we read the story of. I pray you do that in every marriage represented in this room, in every single young man and woman in this room, that you'd make us people of humility. In Jesus' name. Amen.